Welcome to the Pac-Man Podcast, Patriotic American Citizen. I'm Ted Flint on the BMG Network. Well, the protests and the demonstrations and the riots, whatever you want to call them, the clashes with police at major colleges and universities across the country, I think the worst of it is over. But I mean, why was it allowed to get to this point? UCLA had to cancel classes today. Yeah, dueling groups, shoving and kicking, beating each other up. And they're, you know, supposedly this is all because these pro-Palestinian students are concerned about what's happening in Gaza. Hours earlier, police had to burst into a building occupied by these communist protesters. And make no mistake about it, most of these kids, they're not communists. The people who are agitating these young people are communists. But police had to go in, New York City police, and broke up this, whatever it was, at Columbia. A demonstration. The school has been paralyzed for a couple of days here. But why let it get to this point? 15 people were injured at UCLA. There was a girl, I saw it on, WorldNet Daily earlier today. It's Wednesday as I record this. This girl was beaten about the head and shoulders. Her head was bleeding, set upon by a group of pro-Palestinian animals. She, a Jewish girl. No cops around. Police were not anywhere to be seen. And they should have gone in there and just, you know, cleared that place out, UCLA and Columbia. But they didn't. People got hurt. And, you know, we're led to believe, again, this is all over the Palestinian rights. It's got nothing to do with it. It's the left. And again, their opportunity to agitate and to foment revolution and to divide us. That's what this is about. I wrote a column on this. It's on the PAC perspective on the BMG network. It's like 1968 all over again. I don't understand. If I were a university dean or the head of a major university, I would not permit this. Yes, you have a right to a redress of your grievances or perceived grievances. You can protest. We have First Amendment rights. But you don't have a right to break windows, occupy buildings, build encampments on university property. You don't have a right to do that. That crosses over a line. You're breaking the law. You're destroying property. People getting injured. You're beating up Jewish students. This one Jewish girl beaten up at UCLA. You don't have a right to do that. But that's what happens when you have liberals running things as they run the most of the colleges and universities are run by liberals. Most of academia is run by liberals. And you see what's happening. Somebody, I think it was Joni Ernst, Republican from, I think, Iowa, said we need to withhold funding, federal funding from these colleges and universities, if they permitted this. That's a good idea. UCLA, shut off the spigot of money. That'd get their attention, wouldn't it? But we let this stuff go on. It's not 1968. It's, you know, the left wants it to appear like it is. And that was an ugly time. I was alive in 68. Most people weren't. Let's face it. Most people are not 65 years old. Most people are under 40. But we have an aging population, and that's one of the benefits of being around a little bit. You see what's happening, and, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. All this has happened before. Except in 68, there were political assassinations. In 68, Bobby Kennedy was gunned down in the prime of life, as was Martin Luther King. He was 38 years old, Martin Luther King. And Malcolm X, a few years earlier, killed. John Kennedy, in 63, gunned down. That hasn't happened, and hopefully it doesn't. But we need to clamp down on these campus radicals here. A lot of stuff going on here. I don't want to spend a lot of time. I wrote a column on it. It's up on the BMG network under the PAC perspective. And I want to talk a little bit about why so many people are moving to Texas. And I'd like to be among them. Oh, by the way, before we leave the campus radicalism, there was a report on Fox that I found. New York City police have released a video showing this professional, quote, protest consultant, 63 years old, and she's been on other social media videos instructing this mob of anti-Israel agitators as they took over Hamilton Hall at Columbia earlier this week. Mayor Adams, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, spoke about the agitators during a press conference. These are his people. He can't complain about them. He's created the monsters. He's the Frankenstein. Now the monsters are turning on these Democratic politicians. There was nothing peaceful about the protests. They weren't meant to be peaceful. They were co-opted. The ones who were marching or protesting peacefully got co-opted by these outside agitators. And I guess at one point, Columbia wasn't letting anybody in who didn't have a college ID. And a lot of colleges and universities followed suit. Anyway, but this professional, she's 63 years old. You can see her. She gets on Fox, on the Fox news site, agitating these kids. They're external actors. They're not. Obviously, she's 63. She's not a student. And I'll just read a little bit. I don't need it. Her name is Fithian, F-I-T-H-I-A-N, a professional protest consultant. Probably has never worked a day in her life. She's been arrested over 80 times, according to Fox. But these are the types of people causing trouble at Columbia, at UCLA, at, you know, Penn, Yale, Columbia, once storied institutions of higher learning. Somebody made a point, and I agree with it. You're better off going. It was somebody on Hannity's show today, the radio show. This is a president of a Suffolk County Community College. You're better off going to a community college because you're there to learn the material and to work and to be a contributing member of society. You go to these elite Ivy League institutions, they're there just to basically to indoctrinate your children into leftist political philosophy. That's all. You're paying big money, but the people who send their kids to these institutions are liberals, so they got the money and they don't know any better anyway. But you're better off going to an institution close to home where you can get a job right away and get out into the workforce. And a lot of these people who go to community colleges have families or older. It was a good point. Anyway, I'm branching out here. There's so much I wanted to cover. And we'll get to Texas. You know, a lot of people, and whoever wrote this column, Nicole Russell, I think I got this off Yahoo, said, and here's the headline, "Hate Texas? Get over it. Why so many people are moving to the Lone Star State." Well, lower taxes, smaller government. I think the state legislature meets 60 days every 2 years. And, maybe I'll save that for another show. But there's just so much here I got to get to. I don't have time. It's tax time. I mean, it was tax time a couple of weeks ago, and I came across something in the New York Post. And this is interesting because we're hearing all the time that the IRS is not focusing on middle income earners. They're going after the millionaires and the billionaires. But I read in Reason magazine that back in August of 22, the IRS assured us that their $80 billion infusion of cash they got from Joe Biden would actually be a means of targeting these millionaire and billionaire scofflaws, not ordinary middle class earners. Well, that's not the case, because the IRS historically has spent an awful lot of time targeting not the moneyed tax dodgers who can hire teams of these accountants and fancy lawyers or hide their money in tax shelters overseas. Biden's plan is to hire a new army of tax collectors, and the agents already at work are targeting the middle class. According to Reason, as of last summer, 63% of new audits targeted taxpayers with incomes of less than $200,000. That's a pretty good chunk of change, but it's not a million a year or a billion a year. I'm glad my taxes are done. I don't owe the feds anything, thankfully. Basically, at this time every year or every March or April, we become the government's bookkeeper. They know how much we make. They know how much is withheld from our paychecks. But we have to go through that whole process of, you know, filing your taxes or hiring somebody to do it for $200. I mean, it's just it's a ripoff. You know, I was reading today, and this didn't get a lot of play because of the riots and the demonstrations around the country on campuses and universities. But Joe Biden actually revealed he contemplated suicide after the death of his first wife. Now, I mean, there's you could insert a joke here, but it's not a laughing matter. Suicide is certainly not a laughing matter. But Biden said he contemplated taking his own life after his first wife and their infant daughter died in a car crash. Obviously, it was a tough time in the president's life. He recalled how his mental health declined significantly after that accident. And he shares this with, of all people, Howard Stern last week. I didn't hear the interview. I wouldn't listen to Stern if he was the last radio guy on the planet. But Biden, you know, he talks about his mental decline then. His mental decline now is worse than it ever was then. But he said, you don't have to be crazy to commit suicide. Well, we know that. Most people know that. But he said during, and I'll just read you what he said. During a brief moment, I thought about going to the Delaware Memorial Bridge and jumping off. But he said, I had two kids, his two sons, Bo and Hunter. I wasn't like I was going to commit suicide. I'm reading directly from what he said. I wasn't like I got to commit suicide. Again, it's Joe Biden. He's 81. It was like I'd been to the top of the mountain and it's never going to happen again. You're never going to be okay. His first wife, Nelia Hunter, and 13-month-old daughter, Naomi, were killed in a car crash. They were shopping right before Christmas in December of 72. A tractor trailer broadsided their family's Chevy station wagon, and his first wife and daughter were tragically killed. Then he talked about numbing the pain with alcohol. I used to sit there and just think, I'm going to take out a bottle of scotch, I'm going to just drink it and get drunk. He has a family history of alcoholism, and he decided not to do that. So, you know, to his credit. Then he found Jill, and they were married in 1977. They have a daughter. But I mean, the fact that he shared all this with Howard Stern is, you know, not without reason. I mean, he's got everything he does is for a reason, for political expediency, for maybe for sympathy, maybe. I mean, we're 6 months out from the election. I don't know. I don't want to judge a man's motives. I don't wish him any harm. I just wish that he were not president. And in 6 months, hopefully he won't be, or, you know, in January. New poll out from CNN gives Donald Trump his biggest lead yet. This has got to kill the folks at CNN. 6 percentage points. Now, this is nationally. Presidential elections are not decided nationally. They're decided state by state, as most of us know. When third-party candidates Robert Kennedy Jr. are added to the mix, Trump's lead grows to 9%. Now, I've seen just the opposite. When Kennedy gets involved, when he's factored in, the lead shrinks. The CNN poll has Kennedy, when he gets into the race, shows Trump leading by 9. Other surveys show Kennedy taking more votes from Trump than from Biden, as I mentioned. And the reason that Trump has, that's maybe the reason he's begun attacking RFK Jr. on a daily basis. But a lot of people are not happy that Trump and Biden are going to tee it up again. You know, one's 81, the other's 77. Biden is, his brain is shredded wheat at this point. But that's who we have. I mean, I like Bobby Kennedy. I know he's a liberal, but there's something about him. He's got an independent streak that I like a great deal. But I think if he takes votes from Trump, I think it's going to be an issue. I don't think hopefully he doesn't. Hopefully he takes more votes from Biden. I just can't see, based on how the economy is and what's going on some of these colleges and universities around the country, the war in Ukraine, the war against Israel in the Middle East. I just can't see how anybody in their right minds could pull the lever for Joe Biden. But allegedly, 81 million people did. There are 81 million fools in this country, evidently. I want to run down the birthday list. Every day my wife gets together the birthday list of famous people, and she sends it to me via Instagram. And I know this is kind of an odd way to end the show, but I mean, I'm looking at some of these people, and some very important people were born this week. Marcus Aurelius, famous Roman philosopher, was born this week. Muhammad, that Muhammad, not Ali, the one who founded Islam. Let's see who else. The John James Audubon was born this week. Sal Magley, famous baseball player. Eddie Egan, boxer. See, Carol Burnett celebrated a birthday this week. She is 91 years young. Nino Benvenuti, 86. I believe he was a boxer, middleweight boxer, Benvenuti, 86. Let's see here. Bobby Rydell, former singer from the 1960s. Bobby Rydell no longer with us. Gary Wright, Dreamweaver, had a couple of big hits in the 70s. He passed away recently. Let's see here. Let me go down the list as quickly as I can. Kevin James from, I forget what TV show he was in. Husband and wife. He's a funny guy, Kevin James, 59 years old. Kane, the wrestler, his real name, Glenn Jacobs, 57. Melania Trump, former first lady, hopefully future first lady, 54. Let's see. We don't know him. John Eisner, don't know him. Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees, 32. Let's see who else. William Randolph Hearst, founder of the Hearst newspaper chain, was born this week. Alexander II, 19th century czar, was born this week. Let me see here. Let's see. Duke Ellington. Edward Duke Ellington also was born. Donna Mills of the Mills Brothers. Donald Mills, rather. Donald Mills was born this week. George Allen, former coach of the Washington Redskins. One of the great coaches, great football minds of all time. Willie Nelson, 91 years young. Bertie Madoff was born this week. The Oak Ridge Boys, Dwayne Allen, 81. Tammy Terrell made some great hit records with Marvin Gaye back in the 60s. She died at the age of 23 from cancer. Tammy Terrell was born this week. Johnny Miller, the golfer, 77. Let's see. Tommy James of the Shondells had some huge hits in the 60s. One of my favorites, Crimson and Clover. Tommy James is 77. Dale Earnhardt was born this week. Nora Dunn of SNL is 72. Jerry Seinfeld is 70. One of the great actors of our time, Daniel Day-Lewis, 67. Carney Wilson had a hit back in the early 90s, is 56. Let's see here. Andre Agassi, top 10 tennis player, Wimbledon winner back in the 90s, is 54. Uma Thurman, actress, 54, and Master P, also 54. That's about going to wrap things up for this edition of the Pac-Man Podcast with me, Ted Flint. If you want to contact me directly, it's Pac-Man, P-A-C-M-A-N, at thebmgnetwork.com, all lowercase. Don't forget, hit that like button, hit subscribe, and share with your friends on social media, and check out all the fine programming we have for you on the BMG Network. We have this program. We have Madeline's show, my daughter Madeline, with The Essentials, The Age Sage, The Adrian Ross Show, and many more fine programs for you on the BMG Network. We also have columns for you under the Pack Perspective. Check out the latest one that's up there today, as a matter of fact. And don't forget, hit like, hit that like button, hit subscribe, and hit share with your friends on social media. And thanks for tuning us in. If the Lord wills it, we will talk to you real soon.
The Pac-Man Podcast was produced and edited in the BMG studio. Music by Kevin MacLeod. For more episodes of the Pac-Man Podcast, go to the BMGnetwork.com or go to the BMG Network on Facebook. And be sure to tune into the next episode of the Pac-Man Podcast with Ted Flint.